It's time now for another edition of Heart to Heart. And once again, we welcome Jackie LeBeau.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. And just what a wonderful day this is. And aren't we lucky that we are not in the direct path of the hurricane like many of our fellow citizens? And I'd like to start out this morning by sending out prayers for all those that are affected by the hurricane in Florida and elsewhere. I'm sure we all know, have friends and family, I know I do, in the Florida area, and it sure is scary. And we're just hoping that everybody is safe and is able to rebuild and move on. So anyway, we are lucky to just have a great day here. It's a little cloudy. We have some clouds, probably from hurricane stuff, but at least all we're having here in Pennsylvania is clouds. So I'm so happy to be back. I just spent a wonderful week in Europe. Wasn't I lucky? And it was sort of one of those bucket list things, dreams come true. We were over in Prague. We were down in Regensburg. We were in Vienna. We ended our trip in Budapest. And it was just beautiful. And it's so amazing to visit some of these more ancient lands and see some of the architecture and the beautiful stuff that's over there. We went through so many cathedrals, and there's so much beauty over there. It's amazing what man has been able to do and build. It just sort of puts you in a whole different frame of mind, but it's always good to be home. As much as I love to travel, I have to tell you, nothing feels better than coming home. So this morning, and we have a guest on waiting for us on the line, but we have a dear person who I met at one of the training things that I have, that I've gone to for advanced training as a medium. And her name is Ann Donnell. And Ann Donnell is from York, but not our local York in York County, PA. She's from York, Maine. And not only is she York, Maine's very own psychic medium, she's also the girl next door. And once you meet her this morning, you'll know exactly what I mean by that. She is so down to earth. And unlike those born with psychic abilities, Anne didn't discover hers until suffering heart issues during the birth of her third child. It was her recovery from that that led her to become a Reiki practitioner. So she sort of veered off into the healing arts there a little bit. And suddenly and wonderfully, as she says, during her client sessions, messages started flying in from spirit. And from that point onward, a new path in her career had appeared, and the success of following this new direction has been nothing short of inspirational and also phenomenal. Anne's practice has exploded over the past 7 years. Since her first location opened in her hometown of York, Maine, she now has loyal clients around the country and even around the world. In 2016, she branched out to an additional space in New Hampshire to accommodate larger public group demonstrations. And her demonstrations have consistently sold out and increased to 2 times a month. And audience members now are comprised of local as well as out-of-state participants traveling to attend these evening sessions. And they've dubbed her the Seacoast Psychic. So without further ado, let's welcome the Seacoast Psychic to Heart to Heart. Good morning, Anne. Nope, I think she's not on here yet, Dave.
Nope.
Ha, there she is.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Anne. How are you this morning?
I'm doing so well. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, I love having you on the show. We haven't seen each other for quite some time since we the last training thing that we were together to. But I love going to those different classes because we meet so many wonderful people, don't we?
We absolutely do. And this is a proof of that connection right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think a lot of mediums are not born, you know, knowing that they have this ability. So I don't think that's entirely unusual. But, you know, all of a sudden to be working on somebody and doing Reiki as a healing and then have messages start to come through for you, it must have been a little startling. And how did you react when you started to realize that you were getting messages?
That's a great question, Jackie. And I think that, from the time that I was attuned, I almost, started to receive a type of image in my third eye, is what we like to call it, or it can be an exaggerated, imagination, but it's more than that. And when the information started to come into me, I did my best to kind of somewhat ignore it. And looking back now, that's not really possible because it's an overwhelming knowingness that you need to share what has been given to you, what's coming through you.
Yeah, and it's interesting though. I think we all do that at first. We're like, no, we explain it away, or we try to.
No, it's so true. And I think that, from a very young age, I know I've always been sensitive to emotions and whatnot and probably shut those down. And then, being attuned just raised the bar and unlocked something within me to start to see images, to start to hear information. And when that started to happen, it got to the point where I had to start sharing that more with my clients and having the courage to do so.
And I love that you said that, Anne, the courage to do so, because I know people think, we just take this lightly, but it takes a lot of courage to first say those things. I know it did for me.
Right, exactly. Well, it's really true. And then to kind of, be prompted by those closest to me to not be afraid to step out, to share what I'm able to do. And that was, the next step in identifying that, I'm not only, a Reiki practitioner, but, able to connect as a medium and see information psychically. And that takes a big step to identify. And once you kind of step into those shoes, the universe and spirit certainly supports you in that. And it's just an incredible feeling.
Yeah, you really just have to, sort of like take a deep breath and move forward. And it's interesting because as much as I do this, it really took a retired minister who was friends with my parents to actually say to me, he said, you have a gift. He said, you need to use that. He said, don't make light of it. And I thought, oh, my goodness. So for him to come forward and say that to me really changed so much for me. And I said, he's right. It's something,
it's very inspiring. And I find that, as you're talking about your minister, that there are very much key players in our soul contracts and our lifetimes that come in to be those shining lights to guide us and nudge us in that way that needs to happen. And it's not by accident that those people kind of come in that way.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Nothing's by accident, is it?
No. Looking back now, the roughest of patches are the greatest gifts.
They are, and they don't feel that way at the time. But
not at all.
When you have that hindsight later, you realize what you learned from that and where it now moved you. Because sometimes we get so stuck in our day to day and our routines, it's so much more comfortable to stay where we are. And sometimes things come in that force us to take a big step. And thank goodness.
Well, thank goodness. I totally agree with that 100%.
Yeah. So you started opening to this. And so how did your kids and your family react when you started to tell them what was going on for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it was a slow process. And, with my children, it's very common in our house. It's talked about very much like, we're out of milk and you need to unload the dishwasher. And, by the way, I have a message coming through. it's bringing some validity to this work. And I think even with my own family, which I think is interesting, and I don't know if this is the same for you, Jackie, but I get this question a lot that it's hard for me to read my own life. And I really can't. I need to go to somebody else. And so with my own family, they're very supportive of my work. And I think that there's a part of it, too, that there's some hesitation because I'm the sister, I'm the mom, I'm the daughter. And so knowing that I have this, there's that sense of, having a boundary with it as well with my family. But they're all extremely supportive and curious at the same time.
Sure.
But it's interesting when you get to a close-knit family, it's very hard to tap into that because we're so closely emotionally attached to them.
And that's the key, Anne, because I have the same thing in both my mediumship work and also in my work as an animal communicator. Mm-hmm. I have the most difficulty reading my own animals, particularly when it's more serious situation like end of life or medical decisions need to be made. It's very hard. I mean, I can tune in to other people's animals at that time, but because I'm so emotionally charged for my own, it sort of blocks things. It interferes, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. So I will have to go to somebody else to that degree, and people are very shocked to know that I'm like that. I can't look at my own stuff, and you know, and I think that that has to be that way because otherwise, you know, I'd be way too easy in this lifetime just to know all the answers for myself and those around my family. So, you know, there's reasons behind why that's somewhat blocked to that degree, and I respect that. So it allows me to face my own challenges and those closest to me as well.
Yeah, and it also allows us to get connected to some really great people.
Right,
you know,
right,
that we
Jackie.
We have a chance to connect to and learn because, you know, we learn something from everybody we're in contact with. You know, no matter how little or how insignificant we think the contact is at the time, we take something from that we use later.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
Yeah. So now you had all this great stuff coming in, and what did you do next? Because,
well,
you know, this was all new. So how did you move forward?
You know, I move forward with, you know, I believe that with every client that I would see, I would be nudged further to do more. And how I explain it is that it's bigger than me. And what I mean by that is that there was just an energy that was pushing me forward to do this. And so I think a lot of times we can be in our heads with this, and that's part of anything that we kind of grasp to do and to understand. And so as I was doing this work and going further, I must say I had some very important friends that I trusted and that believed a lot in me. And sometimes we question ourselves with this. And so through their support of saying, you need to do this, and through the clients I would start to see, it started to fully build. And I would leave and walk out of my office and kind of nod up and just give thanks because I knew something bigger was happening and I had to trust that and follow it. And I would have an office with very small signage, and people just knew where I was until one day, about 3 years ago, I finally put my sign out that, you know, had the name Psychic Medium on there and bringing that forward. So that was an important step for me to be able to own it.
Yeah.
And it hasn't changed. Nothing's been the same since then, and I'm so eternally grateful.
Well, that's interesting. I love hearing you say that because I have to admit there's times that when people ask me what I do, sometimes I don't always say because you get some people are curious and they're excited about it. Other people are very turned off. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so I always sort of think twice. And I thought, you know, it's time for me to just stop rethinking that. It is what it is and put it out there. So I love hearing about how, you know, when you own that, it just opened things up and just changed things.
Well, what's interesting, and I love that you just shared that because, you know, for the longest time, I would just say I do energy work because essentially all of this encompasses energy and you know, that's what it is. And so when people ask me, like, what are you, a professional psychic medium? And I'm, you know, at the pickup line at school, they kind of look at me like, wait a second. But what's interesting is I see those same people come into my office months later. I have doctors. I have lawyers. And what it is it's half of it's curiosity to see if I am what I am. And, you know, testing that and the skepticism. And I really invite that. I think it's very, very important to kind of walk in to a session because it's vulnerable information. We're making connection. And I think that there has to be some validity and professionalism about it. And I think the integrity behind it is what I stand behind. And I invite anybody to come into my office for a session. And if we're not connecting and making information, there's certainly no charge. And I find somebody who can help them or it just may not be the right time.
Right,
and
because it's true. I love that you said that, Anne, because, you know, I had that recently with somebody. It's like we just were not connecting and, you know, the information wasn't flowing. So, again, you know, you just don't charge those people because, like you said, sometimes you just aren't the right fit. Sometimes it's not the right time.
Exactly. And knowing that and as a medium, you know, you can go through the channels of doubting yourself through those moments. But one thing I really learned through this work is that, you know, it's a three-way system. It's spirit, myself, and the client. And all three of us have to be like linked in. And I find that if there's an area of that that's not, then that's usually why things do not go forward. And I know that there can be a lot of hesitation and anxiety coming into a reading for clients. And, you know, from the minute they walk in, from the minute they leave, they're two different people. Because realizing that it's really having a conversation and things aren't flying around my room, you know, heads aren't spinning,
it's not like that.
It's really having a conversation without the physical body next to us.
Yeah, it's not dark. You don't have a crystal ball.
No, but you know what? I invite them. For that reason alone, I would invite anybody to want to come in to a reputable, you know, psychic medium to prove that their skill in that, because there's some amazing, talented people that bring amazing connection and closure and peace to people that is just so important. But it's to make sure you're finding the right person that can help you with that, and to ask for referrals is super important. And I highly recommend that. Finding somebody who really stands behind their work.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really is important to feel comfortable with the person when you come in, because not everybody fits with, you know, each other. And I always tell people, look for the person that you feel comfortable with, because, you know, even though you might not realize it, your energy, you're feeling that energy connection. And if it's not right, you're going to have that discordant feel. And it's that's your key, that this isn't the right person or the right time.
Exactly. And a lot of times, if they're wanting people to come through and family members and loved ones that are not coming through, there's always specific reasons for that. And many times it can be that the person is just not open to receiving that. But the biggest part is that spirit's in charge. And so if we want grandma to come through, it just means we have Uncle John instead and we don't know why. Mm-hmm. But there's their own hierarchy and their own system on the other side in the non-physical that it's hard to, you know, can you make this person come through? We can try, but it's never a guarantee. I would say about 85 to 90% of my time of seeing clients come in, their loved one that they're wanting does come through. You know, that's just statistically because they want to make that connection, but there's times that it doesn't. And so 6 months later, they come back and that loved one has come through. So I always say that I move out of the way and spirit comes in. So they drive the ship, like they're kind of the captain of the boat. And then I just kind of allow the messages to come through that way. So I just let people know that just because they haven't come through doesn't mean that they don't love them and they're not there. It's just not the right timing.
Yeah, and I appreciate that you say that, Anne, because it just happens. Sometimes they don't come. And when I think about that, I always remember John Edward, the famous medium, saying that he tried for 10 years to get his mother on the other side. And he could do all these readings for everybody else, but it took that long for that, you know, to be the right thing that connected. And I think, oh my gosh, I wonder how, I can imagine how he felt.
Well, right. And that's his own mother, you know?
Right.
So of course. And so that's a great story, Jackie, because, and I will have people who leave the office and they're usually overwhelmed and, you know, like, I can't believe this person came through. And I said, you have to understand, spirit knows the path of least resistance to bring a message through. And so it's very typical for them to bring a message through for a friend of somebody who's in my office or somebody they may know. Because as we know, spirit's very eager to pass through to her friend Sarah that mom is okay in spirit. She made it over okay. She's good. She's healthy. And she gives her love. And so, you know, there's always a nugget in everything that comes through. And I always, you know, been told this and I pass it on myself that spirit never wastes a message. It takes too much vibration for our communication to come through. So I deliver all of it. And when I hear back, I'll see those people in my office because their mom came through to say hello to them. It's a really special, special thing.
And I also, in the relationship to that, things come through and you're thinking it makes absolutely no sense. And I have that with animal communication too. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I don't even think I'm going to tell that person that. And then I always remember one of my teachers saying the same thing. If you receive that, you need to bring it forward. And, you know, your job as the medium or, you know, the communicator is to bring forward the messages that are given to you, because there's a reason for that that is unknown to you. And those have been some of the biggest aha moments in readings that I've had, and I say this thing that I think sounds ridiculous, and the person bursts out in tears and like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they said that.
It's the truth, right? Yeah. That's one of the gifts of this work. And I tell people every day, like, I come in as a freshman every day to my work. I am a freshman, you know, coming into high school, and I learn something different in my vocabulary and my encyclopedia of feelings and symbols. And you learn something every time from a client. It's never the same. And it's so humbling, and it's so ever-changing that it's a gift within itself to be across from a client and have the privilege to tap into energy with them.
Yeah,
it's such a privilege.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ann, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Ann Donnell, and I think we're going to talk a little bit about past lives.
Sounds great.
Okay.
Once again, we're back to Heart, and here's Jackie LeBeau.
Okay, everybody, and our guest this morning is Ann Donnell. She's a psychic medium and also a Reiki practitioner from York, Maine, that is, and also known as the Seacoast Psychic. And we're talking about her practice and her work and both of our works with people. And Ann, we're going to talk a little bit about past lives. And I was asking you when we were off air there, is that something, I mean, do you do regression, or how does that affect your work?
Yeah, you know, what I find is it's been a natural progression of it being just a part of the readings that come in with my clients. And I don't do regression. I'm not certified to regress. But I get, as I like to call it, it shape shifts in front of me in terms of the individuals in their lifetimes with somebody. And a good example of that perhaps would be somebody coming into my office and we're discussing stuff, and it's more of a psychic reading. So they're going through some issues in their life, not necessarily connecting to spirit. And so as I'm connecting with them, and they're having a difficult time with their parent, their mother. And as I start to look and get some information, I realize that there's been several lifetimes that this mother has come in as the child and they have been the parent. So they've come in opposite roles into this lifetime, and it's very tumultuous. But what I find in that, as we get into things called soul contracts, which are put in place prior to incarnating, we ask for that connection to come forward in this physical lifetime to learn, to grow, and we do that in collaboration with the individual. So it starts to put some pieces together, and I see this especially with parents with small children and a child that has very strong will, and I will chuckle.
Did you have any of those, Ann?
Yes. My youngest is that way.
That sounded like a knowing chuckle.
Well, that's, I have my youngest is a 9-year-old with an 80-year-old man stuck right inside. So he has his direction, and he's ready to go. And when you have that, he has a different leash than my other kids. He has different set of energetic boundaries, and it makes all the difference. Mm-hmm. Because their knowing is so strong about who they are. But it can grind against who we are as adults, and that's not what it's supposed to do. So it really helps each other to understand the energy connections that we bring forward. You know, I always see like a piece of fabric, and I know this isn't from me originally, but I've read this, that, and it makes so much sense that, you know, we're the threads of fabric, and think of all the threads that weave in between our threads. Those are all the lifetimes with others that come into this physical life and all the other ones.
Oh, I like that analysis. You know, that's very, you know, very true. And you can picture that so easily when you think about fabric.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, when we're looking at relationships, and this is where past lives really comes into play with a lot of my readings, you know, it's not only the tumultuous and challenging relationships, but it's the ones of real heart connections with people. So for an example, I have many clients that come in that are, let's say, in committed relationships, and it could be marriage. And they run into somebody, and it could be briefly, it could be from 20 years ago, and they've never really left that connection or lost that connection for that individual. And for some reason, it doesn't seem normal. They kind of beat themselves up over it, but the connection is so deep for them. And when I'm explaining that, when I look into that connection, it makes perfect sense, because most likely, 100%, that person, even if it was brief, had been with this person in several lifetimes, perhaps as a very significant spouse or partner or family member. So the connection is validated, that they feel this connection, and to let go of the guilt, because it's, yeah, as I've said, it's like saying, it's not acknowledging, you know, the left side of your body. That connection is there, and it will be there through many lifetimes. So to acknowledge it, to be grateful, and then you can have some more ease with your own life moving forward.
Right, and I'm sure that's so helpful because people are thinking, why am I attracted to this person when I have this great marriage and I love, you know, my husband or wife, and like, what is this? And then they're thinking, then they think too much into it. So I'm sure it's so helpful to have somebody say, here's why, and then they get it. And then they can sort of move forward from that and not keep it. You know, I've had the same thing where clients, I just can't get this person out of their head, and they're thinking, well, I must be meant to be with this person. Well, no, you were with that person before. That's why that's so strong. That doesn't mean that it's what is the right thing for you in this lifetime.
100%, Jackie. Exactly. And sometimes walking out with that clarity, there's a peace of mind, and it really does shift the way that they're looking at it, because they're not going crazy. They have the connection, and you can still, it's just not meant to come to fruition in this lifetime.
Yeah. And I know what you say. I mean, that's one of the things I love most about, you know, what we do, Anne, is to see the peace of mind and to see the smiles and the weight just go off people's shoulders, you know, as they just get some information that makes total sense to them now. And then they can move forward in a very positive way. I love that we are gifted, you know, with that ability to help people with that.
Well, I think what's really important that I've noticed with my work, and I try to explain this, that everybody's able to do, to tap in, like everybody can do this. And so, as you know that, and I know that, and I tell people that, when they come in and they're validated, I let them know that that's an essence of their own intuition, just validating what they've already known inside. You know, so if you really think about that, it's that part of them that already knew this, but somebody that doesn't know you to validate what you're feeling anyways really brings it home that, you know, to really trust your instincts, to trust that gut instinct that you have, your intuition.
Right. And you're so true, Anne, because everybody has this. And half the time when you're doing psychic readings, I know for me, it's like I'll say something to somebody and they say, that's what I thought. Because that's all we're doing is validating what they're already getting. They just aren't able to trust what they're getting.
The left side of our brain, the ego likes to come in, which is why we came here to experience ego, which is an important part of our growth, of fear, of not trusting, of all these things, and judgment or anything like that, of doubts. But that's part of what we came equipped with in this physical lifetime, because we have to overcome that aspect. And so, you know, with so many, and even as our job with being psychic mediums, it's overcoming that ourselves. And being able to utilize what we're able to do for others.
Yeah, and like you said earlier, Anne, you know, the questioning, you know, that we do ourselves as psychic mediums. But I think that's what keeps us humble. It's what keeps us moving forward. And it's an important part of what we do as well. And it makes us understand, you know, firsthand what everybody else goes through.
Exactly. I love that. You're so right.
You know, it gives us that little bit of experience. And, you know, so we've talked about past lives affecting people because you have this connection with people. Mm. You know, you also may remember being in other places. And I just had one of those deja vus when we were in Europe in this small town in Germany called Regensburg. And going into the one cathedral, it just was overwhelming to me. I could see myself as a young boy.
You know? Oh, I love that. You exactly.
Yeah, you just, and it's like, oh my gosh. But I think sometimes we are drawn to things, just like I think there was no accident that was the trip that we picked, and that was one of the locations, and there I was, and it was just like, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, the feeling that I had just being there again and remembering that was one of the biggest things I brought back with me from the trip.
It's so powerful, Jackie, and I love that you bring up about the different locations, and it's so true. It's one of the things that can provoke, you know, a past memory, deja vu, whatever you want to call that. Mm-hmm. You can walk into a place and your whole body, something smells familiar. It's as almost like you look behind you and you look forward, you don't know what to do, but you know you've been there, and it's such a profound feeling. I have clients that come in the same aspect, Jackie, that are really struggling or grappling with where they currently live or where they want to live. And I kind of chuckle and I'm like, you know, I have a lot of clients that live in the East Coast, but I have a lot that live in the West Coast. And, you know, they're like, I'm just really drawn to go to the West Coast. And I said, yeah, you feel like a cactus basically planted in the Northeast. Uh-huh. It doesn't feel natural. And they'll look at me like my whole life. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, so what are you waiting for?
You know? Yeah, because, you know, but isn't it funny, Anne, that they're looking for permission? They're looking for permission.
Totally. You know, it's so funny you use that word because I tell them, I'm like, you now have permission to follow your guidance. Yeah, I love that you just said that. I use it all the time.
Yeah, it's like that's what they're looking for. They just need somebody else to say, yeah, do it. And that's what
exactly.
You're feeling.
And the trip that you just planned, I'm sure you had that internal guidance that you knew that's where you wanted to go. And that's just incredible.
Yeah, it's just like here we were. And it was sort of a planned trip. That was just one of the pieces on the trip. But it just was where we ended up. And I wasn't expecting, this was a small town in Germany. Meanwhile, we were going to go to Prague, Vienna, Budapest. Mm. This was a small town. It seemed like, you know, a nothing piece of the trip, but wasn't that powerful.
Absolutely. Oh, you can just feel it. I think that's incredible.
Yeah, yeah. So now you've looked at different past lives, and I think it was interesting. I mean, even for me, having just said that I was a small boy, people, you know, have had lives. We've been, you know, men, we've been women, we've been old, we've been young, we've been white, we've been black, we've been, you know, all different colors. I mean, I think it's interesting for people to realize that they don't always come back the same.
No, not at all. You know, it's the consciousness that stays the same that gathers information from all the simultaneous lifetimes that we're in, which is a whole other subject. But it's the consciousness that changes into the physical vessel each time. You know, whether it's an object, a thing, an animal, a person, and, you know, male, female, and that's typically, you know, what we see. And you'll see the characteristics with somebody, too. You know, a lot of times people, I won't go and I do not predict pregnancy, birth, because I will typically see the soul energy of the vessel coming in and the soul coming in, but it can be a different vessel. So I've stopped doing that because my radar isn't probably well with that, but I will see a child come in that's born, and I said, I see male energy. Whether you're going to have a male vessel that matches it, I'm not sure. So a lot of times if they have a little girl, it will have to be a very strong child, and sure enough, I will hear back from them years. Like, you have no idea how aggressive she is or how, you know, outspoken, or just she has that masculine energy. And so that's what I connect with, and that's what I see, because our vessels change in every lifetime, the vessel being the human body or the form that you come in with. And, like, you identified being the little boy. You know, that's incredible. That's incredible. Exactly.
Yeah, it's so interesting because I think that I have probably been male in a lot of lifetimes because – you know, I grew up as a tomboy. I think I carried a lot of that in this lifetime, too.
I
think it's just such a strong piece of, you know, who I am, who my consciousness is, and how it relates.
It's very masculine. That would make sense. So you've come in this way, and you're also, would not surprise me that with your connection with animals. In all lifetimes, and how that connection has been in different ways and formats for you, that's not an accident. I don't like to use that term, but there's a reason why you align so strongly with animals and why you surround yourself with them in your life and have such deep bonds. You know, it's what that is. It's why there's some Michael Phelps and there's some Picassos. There's just that, right? It's what you're innately drawn to, or what your blueprint is from each consciousness in each lifetime.
Oh, it's so interesting. So, you know, we talked briefly, you know, talking about past lives. I mean, you and I both know of Dr. Brian Weiss, who I have to think about as past lives. And, you know, just if you haven't heard of Dr. Weiss, I mean, he comes to this topic with tremendous credentials. He studied at Columbia University. He graduated from Yale School of Medicine. He did residency at Yale in psychiatry, and he was even the head of psychiatry at Mount Sinai Medical Center. So for him, in his psychiatric practice, to start getting past lives for people, I'm sure, and he would say, was very difficult, because what do you do with that information? But then it just became so overwhelming to him that he needed to bring this forward.
Talk about a pioneering and courage to come forward and do the work that he's done for so many to really bridge that gap with the medical community and the metaphysical community. Like, it's just you know, he's, you know, somebody that we all look up to and a pioneer and really opening the doors to the subject and understanding it and him doing the work that he's done. Incredible man. And his book, Many Lives, Many Masters, is just, if anybody wants a good starter, that's the one to get. It's an incredible read. I have several copies I actually lend out, and I have several copies with dog-eared pages. I will still...
Like at your library that you lend?
exactly. Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Another great book that kind of goes along with that, it's called Your Soul's Plan by Robert Schwartz. Same idea, but he gets into more detail with different aspects of different challenges in a lifetime. But his first chapter, the pre-birth planning, is pretty fascinating. So some good reading on an afternoon.
Yeah, I love that. So I might even pick that one up too, because I like that he even discusses the pre-birth planning about how, you know, we are involved in how we're coming into this lifetime and where we would like to go and what we would like to learn.
Yeah, well, and it talks a lot of, you know, it gets into the whole thing with soul contracts, and that's just right, Jackie. Like our soul contract of, and I'll give people, and you know, sometimes this inkling of like, you know, this real want or desire to do or be something, yet we never do that. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times that's the undercurrent of the soul saying, you know, you can do this. It's what you want. Whether you do it or not is our free will. And why we come here, we have free will. And so that's what's so fascinating about this. When I have clients coming in that just really want to move, or they really want to go into a four-year program, they're just so drawn. And that's their soul really speaking about what their desire is, because it's what your soul knows. And so it's for us to overcome that part of ourselves of doubt, which is encompassing ego, which is not a bad thing. It gives us contrast.
Right.
But it's really, you know, working over ego to know that we can overcome that and do whatever we're meant to do or why we're here.
So it's interesting because soul contracts aren't just for humans, I have
no.
to say, because a lot of that, our animals come in, and a lot of what they do for us is teach us valuable lessons, they come in with their own soul contracts. We have soul contracts with animals as well as other people.
Yes, I love that. Animals are just a beautiful species, like just their energy in general. There's so much to learn from animals. you know, really, their balance of energy. I had a client come in, and their pet was towards the end of their life and ready to transition, and the owner really didn't want to let go, and so they were going through multiple procedures and multiple medications, and you know, the sadness, like, well, if I do this, I can let them live longer, and I, you know, when I'm tapping into the animal, you know, they know when it's their time.
Right, they're ready.
They're ready, and so if we trust that and know that they know exactly what they're doing, because they'll be back again in many ways, they'll be back. So that's difficult, but that's their contract. And so when we know that, it's hard not to want to step in and to save that. So it's a very difficult transition for pet owners, and as we all love animals, it can be difficult for any of us.
Oh, it is. It's hard, and we've gone through it so many times ourselves, which helps me understand what everybody's going through. But I also, you know, I'm privileged to know that for animals, you know, when they pass, they don't pass with the trepidation and the fears, and there's no big trauma for them because they understand that this is just one of many lifetimes.
one of many lifetimes, and I think it really makes a lot of sense that they're prepared in that sense and just know. And so when we look at their eyes, there's more of a calm, but they probably mirror back our own worry sometimes, so we feel we have to prolong that. Like, what can we do? But it's also lovely when our loved ones in fur come back to communicate, as you know, to let us know that they're more than well, that they're still there with them and communicating and loving them from that side of the non-physical.
Yeah, and it's so much of a relief for people as they've gone through things, and they all want to know, did they do the right thing? And it's so interesting. Animals are so non-judgmental. They're so happy with anything that we do. So
They're the essence of soul energy, which I think when we're at our highest place of doing what feels right for us, that's like a small smidgen of what animals always are. Mm. There's no pretense with animals. It's just pure love. And so I think that's why we gravitate so much towards animals.
Yeah, the unconditional love. And it's so funny, like when I do group sessions and stuff, as much as messages come in from loved ones, it's when the animal messages come in that people break down.
Oh, absolutely. Right. I agree with you. Absolutely. I agree 100%.
Because there's no other stuff attached to it. You know, there's always something attached to all our other relationships, even when it's, you know, family members that, you know, we just love with all our hearts. But when the animals come in, there's no stuff.
it's not conditional with animals. There's no condition with animals. It just is. Right.
Yeah. It's just pure
emotional
love.
Yeah.
And
it's
that's
great
what
connection.
They do all the time. I love that.
I agree. I know.
So we are so blessed, and in so many ways.
So blessed. I know. It's a wonderful connection.
So, Anne, you know, what else, you know, are you doing that you're really loving these days?
You know, one of the things that I started doing and incorporating in the last probably 3 years is doing large groups. I'm doing large group demonstrations, psychic medium, and what that means is I have now moved. I have two offices now, and I've actually moved both of my offices, well, my second office back to York, Maine. So I have both offices, my original in York, Maine, and I'm now doing demonstration groups, and I do hold those one or two times a month, and it's open to the public. It's first come, first serve, and it's delivering messages psychically and mediumistically throughout the night for those in attendance. And I really, really enjoy the larger groups. Because the energy vibration and the frequency in the room is just so dynamic.
Really? And so how many people do you normally get in those?
Well, I was doing close to 25 up to 30, and now I've reduced it down through trial and error. We're doing the tops now is 15 because I am not one that doesn't want somebody to come and not leave with the message.
Yep, I get you. Because I, when I do groups too, I would get larger groups, but I also am the same way. I want everybody to leave with a message.
I am the same way. And so, you know, I'm sure I could do an audience of 50 or 100 or 200, and that's fine, but it's just not how I'm built, Jackie. And I want to connect with each person there. So we've really reduced the size where I actually get the first name of everybody coming for the night, and I get a quick message for each person. My assistant gives me the name. I get a quick hit, and then I deliver that, and then we're able to actually connect organically whoever comes through, and then I give a second message if I can. So there's connection. It's 2 hours of, you know, really bringing messages through and connecting with those that are there, and I love it. So the dates change, but it's usually on a Friday or Saturday. And then otherwise from that, I do a lot of phone readings all over the country and internationally as well, which is something I really enjoy as well for people who can't really see me physically.
Right, right. So when you get the first names, do you get those quickie messages before they get there so that you have written down for them that you can start with that?
I sure do. So we just started
like
doing
that.
This. Where I had the urge to write a message to write down whatever came to me prior to it. And so about an hour before we start, Sandy, my assistant, comes in. She gives me the first name. That's all I know. And I get a quick hit on all of it. And I have pages and pages of this. And this is how I started to do things. So I go through the whole room and I give them whatever hit it is. And it always is what it is. It's the craziest thing.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's not really, but it's been really a fun aspect of participating and involving everybody in this process. And I explain it. And then after that, I'm able to kind of go and just naturally channel the rest of the night. But it's been a really interesting part of the night.
Oh, I like that approach. I definitely do. I might try that too, Anne, because...
Please do. Yeah.
I love starting out that way so everybody gets everything. So,
well, yeah, when the hits are quick like that, when I get a first name, I don't have time. It just comes in so fast, so it makes it very quick, and then I go on to the next name and the next name. So, yeah, try that, Jackie.
Good,
see if
wonderful.
You like it. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Tell everybody how they can get a hold of you, because believe it or not, we're at the end here.
Oh, that was fast. No, absolutely. So they can get a hold of me and go to my website at annedonnell.com, and that's AnnedonnellL.com. I'm on Facebook and I'm on Instagram. They can call and they can schedule right on my website for a phone reading or an in-person reading. I also offer large groups so people can actually book private parties for family and friends And then I offer the public demonstrations once or twice a month as well.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning, Anne.
Absolutely. Jackie, so good to talk to you. Thank you for having me on the show.
Okay, you too. All right, bye-bye now.
Take care.
Okay, I want to thank Anne Donnell again for joining us. So now you know what I mean by she's like the girl next door. She is just so delightful, and what a sweetie. So I want to remind everybody, I'm on the second and fourth Tuesday of every month here with Heart to Heart. And joining me for our next show on September 26th will be Brad Umidi. And Brad is a master of acupuncture and oriental medicine. And on my next show, Brad and I will be exploring the history and the benefits of acupuncture. And so if you've never used acupuncture, I'm sure that you will be surprised at all the different conditions that can be improved or resolved with this ancient and very effective practice. And Brad is second generation acupuncturist. He followed in the footsteps of his mother. So he will come to us with lots of great information. And for those of you that are just afraid of the needle thing, I can tell you, having gone through acupuncture myself, it's something that you hardly even notice. They are so thin, and just the different meridians and things. It's amazing what can happen with that. So that is coming up. And again, as reminding everybody that I have offices both in Hanover at the Eichelberger Center and also in York. If people would like to come in for a psychic or mediumship reading with me, and you can call my office. My number is 717-968-5289, or visit my website at jackielebeau.com, and that's JACQUILEBEAU.com. So definitely, if I can help you, and as well as Anne, I also do group readings, and I can do those in your home as well as public readings. So keep your eyes open for that. And if sounds like something that would be fun for your family and friends, give me a call and we'll see what we can do. So until our next show coming up, sending you sunshine and smiles, and enjoy every day and be a blessing to others.